morning. On this last day of 2023, can you believe it? I mean, can you believe it? I mean, 2023 is almost coming to a close. In just a few hours, many people will watch the ball drop in New York and they'll celebrate the coming of the new year. And I was thinking, not that I'd watch the ball drop. I'm 67. I can't stay up that late. But as I was thinking about what to preach for this New Year's Eve service, I began to think about things that I would like to see change in my own life and for the lives of the people in this church as well. And the Holy Spirit seemed to bring to my mind this very short scripture. How many of you know that it's in the short, little, almost obscure scriptures that they can minister to us the most? Amen. You see, when God opens his word and reveals his will, that's what it is. When he opens his word and reveals his will. And I pray that there are times for you in 2024 like that. And I know that I want more times than I've ever had like that in 2024. The verse that the Lord gave me is only six simple words, but it says so much, because if all of us were able to do it, or if we were able to do what the scripture says in the year 2024, I believe our lives would never be the same. The scripture is found in Ephesians 4:27, and it says, "Neither give place to the devil." All right? Say that with me. Neither give place to the devil. Let's stand together and we'll repeat our Bible declaration for the last time this year. I promise I won't say that too much during this sermon. Okay. You've got your Bible lifted up. I can see back to about the second row. It's good. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. You can be seated. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 25 through 27. You can wave at me when you're there, but it's not going to do any good because I really can't see you. So, all right. Ephesians 25 through 27 starts out like this. I'm going to read out of King James this morning. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." And then the scripture for today, "Neither give place to the devil." Notice that this group of scriptures, that verse 27 really pulls it all together. It's talking about relational things, okay? And when it does this, it says, "Neither give place to the devil." The title of the message this morning is just simply this, "Choose to Change." That's right, choose to change. And Serena, could you come up this morning and pray for the message?
Father, as we close out this year, worshiping you and hearing your word, I thank you for this opportunity, this privilege, and this honor to gather together in your name. For where your word says that where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. And Father, if we ask anything in your name, we have the confidence, God, knowing that if we're asking according to your word and your will, we know you hear us. And if we know you hear us, we know that we have our answer. Father, I thank you that each one of us can close out this year thanking you for one blessing. One blessing can come to our mind that we can thank you even if it's just that today we woke up, God,
hallelujah,
and we realize that you are Lord,
yes,
that you gave us breath, you kept us through this year. You kept us, Father, and we thank you for that. Father, I thank you that what the enemy meant for evil, you will turn it around for our good,
mm-hmm,
and your glory. Anything that came against us this year will not prosper. We will not take it into 2024. We will stand in faith, believing you for good reports, God reports, and God for divine interventions and miracles.
Mm-hmm.
We go into 2024 rejoicing, God, rejoicing that you are our Father and you are our Lord.
Yes.
Today, as we hear your word, I thank you that it will hide in our heart, that we won't sin against you, that we will hear it, we will listen to it, and we will commit to it. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, mm-hmm, for being our Lord, our Savior, our Master, the one who rules and reigns in our hearts. In Jesus' name,
mm-hmm,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, Serena. Thank you. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Say it with me again. Neither give place to the devil. Six simple yet powerful words. And one of the first things that the Lord ministered to me out of the scripture was the fact that the words were indicating that this is my choice. Amen?
Amen.
This is my choice, and no one else's. Nobody was going to do it for me. He wasn't going to do it for me. My wife wasn't going to do it for me. It was my choice. And it's true. Paul was telling the Ephesians, if you will, that by their own choice, he said to make the decision not to give place to the devil. The fact is, you and I never just have to, all right? We never just have to give place to the devil or fall prey to the enemy's temptations. The excuse that Christians like to make is that, well, the devil made me do it. And I talk about Flip Wilson, but only a few of you would know who that is. Or you know, I tried so hard, but the temptation was just too much. It was too great. But I want you to know something this morning. That just isn't true. It just isn't true. Especially for the Christian who knows who they are in Christ and the Christian who knows the power of the Word of God. Amen? And you might ask, well, Pastor Wes, why can't the devil tempt us beyond measure? Because I've been pretty tempted before. I've had some pretty big temptation. I've fallen into different things. I know this is a fact. I know as I know as I know that he cannot tempt us beyond measure, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, and if you don't memorize any other scripture this year, you should memorize this one. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Praise God. There's nothing. Many times people say, God won't give me more than he can handle, or than I can handle, and they use this scripture. But this scripture is talking about temptation. Amen? It focuses on temptation. But he's always there to take us out of it. And God's word has the authority and power to make things change. How many of you agree with me about that? You see, God has shown us in his word that if we can shut every door and close every window and seal every crack in our spiritual foundation through which the enemy would try to gain entrance, and access to get at us, then according to the Bible, we can stop him from working his way into the middle of our lives. We don't have to give way to the devil. Amen? That ought to make you happy this morning. It's up to you. Amen? It's up to you. Unfortunately, this seems to be just a little, it sounds a little bit easier than it is. Okay? And this is why. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, the Bible says this: for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. You can't tame your flesh. Amen. Nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You see, our problem is that you and I, we have this carnal nature, and too often we live in the flesh. Amen? We live in the flesh. We think of great things to say, but they really hurt people. You know, guess what? You're living in the flesh. Well, I prayed. Well, you must not got the right answer, okay? The sin nature that's within us from our very birth, okay? And it's there because of Adam and Eve's sin of rebellion against God in the Garden of Eden. And you can say, well, that's not fair. I mean, I didn't do anything. It's not my fault. But the truth is, you know, it doesn't matter if we think that it's fair or not. It is a fact. Amen? It's a fact. We have the propensity to sin, just like they had. This sin has been labeled as original sin. I think it was St. Augustine that labeled it that, all right? But a lot of people call this tendency to sin the old man or the old woman raising its ugly head. We've all been there. Amen? Amen. And others call it the devil sitting on one shoulder and the angel sitting on the other, presenting a wrong way or the right way to deal with whatever you're being tempted with. Either way, the flesh is a force to be reckoned with. Now, in the book of Judges, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says this, "And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare to you." And all this is speaking of the enemies that Israel did not drive out of the land. Much like the enemies that Israel didn't drive out of the land, how they would become thorns in their side, so is the sin that we don't deal with in our life. Amen? They will become, or it will become, thorns in our sides. Because the truth is, if you don't deal completely with the sin in your life, if you let the remnants of sin remain, eventually, say eventually, they will pop back up. They will. Because if you don't completely remove sin from your life, the enemy will covertly resurrect that sin in your life. Why? Because undealt with sin will always reappear in your life. And probably at the most inopportune time, right? Amen? The most inopportune time. And if we were all to be really quite honest this morning, there are times, the best of us, the most spiritual of us, there are times when we give in to the screaming and begging for fulfillment that our flesh does. Amen? We give in. And we end up opening doors and opening windows that we have previously closed, and then the devil dives directly into those reopened doors. Come on. Am I right this morning? Are you with me this morning so far? One of the re-entry points that the devil repeatedly tries to use to enter into our lives is through our relationships. In other words, his re-entry point is commonly through our broken relationships. Stay with me here. If you and I have unresolved issues or conflicts in our lives with a loved one or a friend, that point of conflict, if you will, often becomes that re-entry point through which the devil will try to gain access to your lives once again. And once the enemy is able to slip through one of these cracks in your foundation, how many of you know, and we have just preached about this, it is important what we build our spiritual life upon. Amen? Our foundation has to be firm. But if he's able to slip through one of those cracks in our foundation, he begins to build an offended place in our minds. And a wall begins to be built that will eventually separate us from the people we need and love the most. What am I saying? Points of contention or points of conflict, and especially points of unforgiveness, will throw the doors wide open for the enemy to slip in. I know that isn't what you want to hear this morning. Okay, I know that's probably not really what you want to look at this morning, but the truth is, as Christians, you can't, I can't, none of us can live with unforgiveness in our lives. It can't be said among us that we would say something like, oh, I can't forgive them right now. You have to forgive them right now. Amen? We don't have an option. That's the whole message of the cross. We have to issue forgiveness. Now, wouldn't you agree that if all of your relationships were righted and mended, that your lives would be much more simple and enjoyable in 2024? Come on. And if the devil is the cause of all our trouble, which he is, and we have the choice to let him in or to keep him out, then we should do our best to keep him out, right? Okay. All right. Boy, things aren't going good here. So I would like to help simplify, if you will, our 2024 by finding out what exactly the scripture means when it says, neither give place to the devil. What is that saying? Neither give place to the devil. So let's tear the scripture apart and analyze what it's trying to tell us. How many of you know that God can give us truth and revelation in our heart by his spirit, as in sometimes it's just dropped in our hearts and we suddenly know? Amen. Our eyes are open. We suddenly know. Or God can also build revelation in our heart step by step, as in when we search something out or when we seek the truth. Amen? Amen. Well, okay, here comes some revelation, all right? Let's look at the word devil as it is used in the scripture. The word devil comes from the Greek word diablos. It's an old compound word that is made from the two words dia and balo. All right, we're not going to worry about the balo part today. I wonder where that came from. This name, okay, this diablos, is used 61 times in the New Testament alone. All right, the first part of the word that we're going to look at today is the prefix dia, which simply means, and this is important, but it simply means through. All right, and it carries with it the idea of penetration. All right. Because dia is used at the beginning of his name, it tells us that the devil wants to make some kind of penetration into our lives. Amen? Amen. We've already established that the devil is always looking for an entry point, right? And once a point has been located through which he can secretly slip into people's lives, he begins penetrating our mind and our emotions to drive a wedge between, when we're talking about relationships, between individuals that we have relationships with. How many of you have had that happen? It can take the smallest thing, the tiniest thing, that can separate the best of friends. And the enemy's objective is to separate us from each other with his railing accusations and his slanderous accusations. You'll know. And I hope you understand this, but you'll know when the accuser has gone to work in your mind, because your whole perspective about the person that you are upset with will suddenly change, all right? You become nitpicky. You become negative. And you find fault in all, say all, in everything, in all that they do. Maybe you used to have a high regard for and respect for this person, but now you find out that you can't even find, if you look, anything good to say about them. Even if you do discover something good about them, all the bad you see outweighs the good. This attitude, if you will, is clear evidence that the work of the accuser, or the devil, or the enemy, or old Slewfoot, or whatever you want to call him, that he's found an entry point and penetrated your relationship with that other person. He's trying to disrupt what has been a pleasant and gratifying relationship in your life. Okay, well, now we found out, but what's the solution? Well, for one thing, instead of meditating on all the bad things about the other person, why don't you look in the mirror yourself? And remember that the Bible is a mirror. Amen? It's a mirror, and it reflects who the true you really is. When you begin to look in the mirror, you begin to shut your mouth. Amen? But stop the devil from worming his way into the middle of your relationships with people. Fix your thoughts on things that are above and not beneath. I think I read that somewhere in Colossians chapter 3. When we read the word place that's used in the scripture, neither give place to the devil, is translated from the word topos. Say topos. And it refers to a specific marked off geographical region or location. Okay? The word carries the idea of a territory or province or a region or a zone or even a geographical position. It's actually from this word that we get the English word topographical, as in topographical map. Hello. That was weird. As in topographical? Okay. Because the word topos depicts all these things, this lets us know that the devil is after every region, hello, every territory, and every part of our life, which includes our money, our health, our ministry, our reputation, our marriage, and our relationships, and much, much more. He wants it all, remember. He wants it all. The enemy will never, say never, the enemy will never be satisfied with only one area of your life. He wants it all. Say he wants it all. Say it like you mean it. He wants it all. He is so territorial that he wants it all. He wants to penetrate our lives, and in so doing, he wants to hold control over every area of our lives. But in order for him to start his campaign to conquer the Christian, first he has to find an entry point from which he can begin his campaign of unleashing his devilish destruction in our lives. In other words, you and I, we have to open a door. You and I have to crack open a window. You and I have to show some disbelief in what the foundational things that we should believe in. And once we show that doubt, a crack forms in our foundation. Let me give you some examples of doors that we can inadvertently open. Okay? We throw open the door to the devil when we refuse to let go of old hurts and old wounds. Please don't let your past dominate your future in 2024. We throw the door open to the devil when we refuse to acknowledge or admit that we've done wrong and refuse to say, I'm sorry for it. Please, again, don't let your pride stand in the way of your prosperity, because it will. And we throw a huge door open to the devil when we refuse to forgive others for the wrong that we perceive that they have done. If you find yourself doing any of these things, or other things that are like this, I want you to know it can leave a marked off area of invitation, if you will, through which the devil can enter. You can't just brush it aside. You deal with it. How do you deal with so many problems in relationships? You just issue what? Forgiveness. You know what I found out? It's a lot easier to issue forgiveness and hold on to forgiveness if you shut up after you do that. And quit talking about the person that you had a problem with. Amen. And quit bringing it up over and over again, because you repeatedly crack that door open. And it doesn't go shut when you say, I just wanted you to pray. It stays open. But I have good news for you this morning. All right. I'm not sure what that is because my iPad just shot there. But I have good news for you this morning. According to what Paul says, we don't have to. We don't have to fall victim to the devil or the enemy's tactics. We don't have to become one of his statistics. All right? We can say, no. I'm choosing to say no. And begin to throw scripture to him like this one, Romans 8:37. Hey, I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. You can't do this to me. I'm not going to allow that. I'm choosing to say no. Tell him, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In 2024, if you want to stand against the attacks of the enemy and not give him a place in your life, then stand on the authority of the Word of God. Oh, come on, people, then stand on the authority of the Word of God. I mean, if I have given you an answer at any time during the whole year of what you need to do, if you want to make 2024 different in your life, stand on the authority of the Word of God and take that Word of God and eat it, devour it, memorize it, make it a part of your life. It was meant to be a part of your life. The Apostle Paul said it, all right? He said, neither give place to the devil. The Greek language construction that's used in this scripture makes it abundantly clear to you and I that we have a choice. We have a choice. And I don't know about you. Well, actually, I do think I know about you. But I choose to give him no ground. Amen? I choose to give him no ground. I choose that if I got a window cracked open, I'm going to slam it shut. I'm going to choose this, that door is a little bit ajar. It's going to make a noise when it closes. Come on, people. I'm going to do everything that I can. I'm going to do everything that I can to prove that my foundation doesn't have a crack in it. You can choose to give the enemy place in your mind, in your will, in your emotions. Or we can choose to walk in the Spirit by quoting the Word of God and then standing on the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Why does that work? Well, because of this. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Things like Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Glory to God. Luke 11, 28, and I love this one. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Amen? If that one's so simple. Why don't you memorize that one? Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. It's time. How many of you would agree that time is pretty short? I think it is too. It's time that you and I stopped letting anger and resentment and pride, for that matter, get in the way and well up on the inside of us and make the decision for us as to who we will yield to. Do you understand what I'm saying there? As we close this morning, let me ask you this question, all right? Have you ever given place to the devil by allowing anger and resentment or bitterness or unforgiveness to have a place in you? Have you ever done that? And if you've done that, don't you want your 2024 to be different? Don't you want your life to speak of better things in 2024? But if that's you, and it sounds like it's a lot of us, and it includes me, I want to invite you to this altar to make a declaration to start off your 2024 right. Amen. So those of you that would have to say those things that I said, those things that you have given place to the devil by allowing resentment, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, or things like that to have a place, come forward now, please. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Just come forward, and we're gonna say a declaration, if you will, that will start you off on your way there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Just gonna wait a second longer. Anybody else who wants to come up? I don't know about you, but probably 60 of the 67 years that I've lived, this day represents a time when something's going to change in my life. And I want that for you in 2024. I'm not talking about making resolutions. You should be making a resolution every day of your life. But we're going to read this declaration. And I want you to repeat after me when I say it. Are you ready? I declare that I'm going to walk in forgiveness. I declare offense, bitterness, strife, and unforgiveness. Get out of my life. I declare that I am full of mercy and long suffering. And I am slow to anger. Because of the Spirit of God.
That lives in me.
I declare that in 2024.
To use the power in the Word of God.
To fight my battles for me. I declare this.
In Jesus' name.
And everybody shouted, amen and amen. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap today. Praise Him. Shout, jump, whatever you got to do. Because you have to make the choice to change. Amen. Nobody can make it for you. We're going to share in communion today. So you can take your seats if you like.